that's one of my favorite promises in the Old Testament that Bob read. And I think the promise applies to the nation of Israel back then when the temple was dedicated. If you want to draw a parallel to what you're experiencing right now, just in the mid-90s, I think it was, the sanctuary here was built. And let's say everybody was praying and seeking God. And then God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. When things are bad, my people call by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will forgive sin and heal their land or heal their soul. So I think this Bible passage applies to not just what happened in history, but how we walk with God today as a group of Christians. You might say, as the body of Christ, people called by God's name, humble themselves, pray, seek His face, turn from their wicked ways, then God does great things. So could be applied also to any individual person. Put your name in the verse. I put my name in the verse. If Bob, called a Christian, humbles himself, prays and seeks God's face, turns from his wicked ways, then God hears. He knows forgiveness. He knows health or healing in his soul. So that's something the Lord would provide for us as his people. And I think that passage depicts a good, healthy walk with the Lord and the walk of a lot of our founding fathers as they turned to God and said, hey, we're starting out a country here. You know, we never started a country before. And so where are we going to turn for help? We're going to turn to God. And many of them did that. So I invite you to do that as somebody who would say, well, I want to be called by Jesus' name also. In other words, a follower of Jesus, a Christian. So listen for God's voices. We follow him as a body of Christ or as a nation of believers, part of whom are believers. Let's look at the passage. Humble yourselves. Humble ourselves. In the Bible, the word humble means to be brought low, like when we do when we pray. Our hearts are low before God, knowing who he is. Maybe our body posture is also. Maybe there's some kind of bowing going on. In Isaiah 40, God said the Messiah would come and the mountains would be brought low. That doesn't mean, you know, there's a big old hill and now it's not there anymore. But it means any self-sufficiency or pride on our own part, you know, that would lift ourselves up, that's going to be brought low when the Messiah shows up. Isaiah chapter 10 gives a similar picture. It says, when God speaks, the tall trees are brought low or are humbled. And most of us don't like to be humbled because we think we're going to lose something. And so we want to be up there, maybe spiritually too big for our britches or whatever the case may be. But God says a part of our relationship with him is humbling ourselves, saying, I need God 100%. It's good for the individual Christian, good for the lost guy who never received Jesus. It's good for the body of Christ, the church. It's good for the nation. Humble ourselves. Here's some examples from the founding fathers. Thomas Jefferson, barely a Christian. A lot of people think he was not, don't know where his heart was. But he did say this, I tremble for my country when I think that God is just and his justice doesn't sleep forever. You could say that for your own soul. I tremble for my soul when I think that God is just and his justice doesn't sleep forever. We're acknowledging we need God's forgiveness, his mercy and grace. So we do that. John Adams, second president of the United States, he said, our independence should be accompanied by acts of devotion to God. So when we say we're free as a country, we should accompany that by saying, God, we want to be devoted to you because freedom without you is just chaos. You know, who wants that? If you want chaos, go to Somalia. You know, that's a country where just like the guy with the biggest gun on the street wins. Freedom under God. A lot more responsibility. George Washington humbled himself before God in this prayer. Eternal and everlasting God, direct my thoughts, my words, my work. Now here's a guy who was a general, First President of the United States, he said, hey, I know I can't do this without God. I don't know, there's a famous painting of Washington kneeling, perhaps at Valley Forge or in other contexts. That's a good posture for the believer. I don't know if people think, you know, around us in America when they say, I think of a Christian, I think of a person kneeling. I don't know if people, when they think there's such and such a church on such and such a street corner or Northern Alliance Church, is that that group of people who humble themselves? Is that, are they the ones? I don't know what the response is. But I know that God can see into our hearts, and that's part of our calling. Just that. But they do have a healthy sense of dependence on God, don't they? They're more bowed down than chest out kind of people. Don't have to have the chest out because they know God's the strength. That's how it was for the founding fathers. So that's how we want it to be for our own selves. Humble ourselves. When Jesus taught of humbling ourselves, he told the story of people in church, people in worship, rather. And one guy was praying, didn't lift up his head. The other guy prayed more toward himself. I think he was standing at that point. And the one who didn't look up was, of all things, a corrupt political leader. We talk about, you know, national implications, even for Israel. It was the tax collector, Jesus said, in this story, who prayed. You know, he didn't even look up. God bless him. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, that's a great example of salvation or worship. So we want to say, I want my heart to look like that. It's not going to look like that unless I meet God. So, Lord, please, as we, someone said, we're all corrupt political creatures because we quest for power. You know, got to be seen, got to be heard, got to be my way. But Jesus said, yield and let the Lord be first. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Great prayer to pray for you, for the church, for the nation. And Jesus said, now you're going to go home right with God if you do that. Humble yourself. Pray and seek God's face. The second part. What does, when you think about our country, what do we need as a country? Put it down to your family, you know, put it down to any group of people. What does America need? What do Christians need? We need morality. That's true. Need to know right and wrong, that we only can do right with God's strength. We need that morality. We need healed families. The family doesn't make any sense or function well unless Jesus is at the head. It'll still have problems with Jesus at the head, but he can help us. We need education. We need jobs. We're blessed to have educational access all over the place for us. But the ones, at least in our fellowship, for example, who have the most education, they know we need God more than the highest education. They'll tell you that. Our founding fathers prayed to seek God in his face. George Washington prayed these words, Lord, bless the whole of mankind. Let the world be filled with the knowledge of you and of Jesus Christ. So you could picture saying that. You know, one thing I want, George Washington would say, and we could say, know that freedom too, to be seeing people know God and know Christ. That's going to bring health to anybody, to any group of people. Seeking God in prayer, talking to him because we love to talk to our loved one. You know, my family, we talk to one another. If I just go and talk to my family, when I say, give me this, I want that, it's time for me to get this, and if you help me here, I'll feel great. They're going to say, stay away from him. He's just like a request machine. Instead of saying, I'll talk to you because I appreciate you. Thank you for what you mean to me. You are really great being a part of my life. You just, you know, brighten up the whole experience when I notice you. Pray and seek God's face. You do that. And and he'll show himself to you, and you'll know his care. Jesus is shown in the Gospels modeling that. He prays, or he teaches others to pray 33 times in the Gospels. Can you imagine? Somebody, a good artist, should turn that into an illustrated Bible. Here's Jesus teaching about praying. Here's Jesus praying. Here's Jesus teaching about praying. Here's Jesus praying. And his people say, well, Lord, teach me to pray. I want to talk to God like that and make prayer a part of my daily relationship with God. God's people coming together to pray, that's a great thing too. Pray and seek God's face. And then one more thing, a big one, turn from our wicked ways. We have a lot of wicked ways. Best not to talk to too many of them on the birthday that we have. You know, even when we have birthdays in our house, we don't sit around and think, you know, it's my son's birthday, I'm going to think about all the bad things he did. Yeah. I'm going to straighten you out on your birthday. But we do say, so thankful, you know, so thankful for all the blessings, so thankful for God's faithfulness in spite of the imperfections of the birthday guy. So thankful for the grace and mercy of God in their lives. God's really needed in the birthday of our beloved nation. And to know the wickedness of our sin, turn from our wicked ways. If we don't love God, say, you know what, I love a lot, but I don't love God like I should. He's not on my mind. He's not in my soul. He's not in my strength. He's not mind, soul, strength, heart. But I want him there. Or if I say, my wicked ways is I don't love my neighbor as myself. And from those two commandments, all heck breaks loose in my thoughts and my behavior. You know, if you and I don't love neighbor, watch out. Watch out. It'll be a short distance between that and some wretched outward sin that we express. Founding fathers wanted to turn from their wicked ways. Patrick Henry, who's probably the biggest fireball among them, he said, this nation, and he thought about the goodness that only God can bring, this nation is founded not on religion, but on the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need a Savior to turn us from our wicked ways and to know that forgiveness for each of us, for Christ to be at the very top without rival of our soul's affections. Patrick Henry loved the Bible. He said, the Bible's worth all the other books that have ever been printed. We all know that if we've read, you know, one chapter of the Bible. This book is worth everything ever been printed. Sunday school teacher did a great job thinking, hey, still get the word in people's hands in some manner. George Washington, he prays about his own walk, turn from the wicked ways. He says, wash away my sins by the blood of the Lamb. Change my heart by the Holy Spirit. I think any Christian could pray that at communion. Any person who said, well, I'm not a Christian, but I like church. Some nice quiet people there, smiling faces, good music. Where else are you going to go for that, you know? Well, how about the Lord? You know, is your heart surrendered to Him? You say, wash my sins by the blood of the Lamb and change my heart by your Holy Spirit. God will convert you. Be a big change in your life. Are there any Americans who have humbled themselves, prayed, sought God's face, turned from their wicked ways? I came up with a list of people who have influenced thousands. I happen to be one of the, you know, I've heard a little bit about them or read, and they've helped my soul. They've either gone to be with Christ or they're still around. And I just want to use them as examples of people who have said, and you, when you hear the list, you'll say, huh, you know, they're very normal people. They got flaws, but they seem to put Christ first. And then they disciple others. So here's my list. It's kind of a list of thank you to God for people who have humbled themselves and prayed and turned to Jesus. And you can make your list. And, of course, most of it would be people you know, family and church and neighborhoods. But here's a little bit more well-known ones. Okay, here's the list. and other models. Check their biographies if you don't know them. Jonathan Edwards, first great preacher, American Christian. David Brainerd, first great American missionary to the Indians. Noah Webster, was it the dictionary guy? Or Daniel Webster. Bob was telling me about that. I get too confused. History is weak for me. We got the Fanny Crosby, Charles Finney, Songs and Preaching, George Washington Carver, Abraham Lincoln. If you want to think, I wonder what humbling yourself look like. Look at Abraham Lincoln. Maybe one of his political foes said, "Oh, he has a lot to be humble about." You know, but isn't that true of you and I? If you humble yourself before God, don't you have a lot to be humble about? Jesus would let you know that. Dwight Moody, A.B. Simpson, A.W. Tozier, Dwight Eisenhower, George Bush, both of them, Jimmy Carter, Jim Elliott, a missionary, Sam Walton, a store guy, Billy Graham, American Christian, turning to Christ, Martin Luther King, American Christian, turning to Christ, teachers, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, Bill Bright, loving college student, Campus Crusade, Charles Colson, James Dobson, James Kennedy, Rick Warren, Tony Campolo, Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer, Johnny Erickson Tada, love Jesus, turn to Him. Humble yourself, Adrian Rogers, Francis Chan, Peter Marshall, a chaplain in the 40s, I think, in the U.S. Senate, Mark Driscoll, and then from media and sports. I just named people so you could say, these were normal people, humbled themselves, prayed, sought God's face, turned from their wicked ways. Kirk Cameron, Mr. Fred Rogers, neighborhood man, Andy Griffith, Chuck Norris, MC Hammer, Mary Lou Retton, Chris Tomlin, Mike Tomlin, Mickey Rooney, George Foreman, Steve Largent, Drew Brees, Kurt Warner, Walter Payton, Emmett Smith, Mel Blunt, Mike Singletary, Joe Gibbs, Tony Dungy, Dave Dravecki, people who said, life is no good without Jesus. Would you put your name with them? Because God would say, my people who are called by my name. And He said, my eyes are going to be attentive to where my name is. He would like your name, His name on your heart. Just to say, okay, Lord, if I'm lost, I know what to do. Turn to Christ and I say, save me. If I'm a Christian, I know what to do. Humble myself, go to God, and turn from my wicked ways. And then God will forgive, heal the land, and get a lot of salt and light toward America, which, according to my list, the Lord's been faithful to do. Really has been. And people are following Him today. You know, try to steer away from the idea that people were really close to Jesus in our country in the 1920s. You know, just do a little history of every decade and the decadence that only by God's mercy the country overcame. So God's faithful in the new decade that's, you know, we say, well, if God doesn't help us, we're done. It's always been the truth. So be close to Him as you turn to His table. Let's pray together and know He invites us to know that freedom in Christ, the blessings of Jesus, our Lord and Savior of souls, the Lord and Savior of our nation.